In this episode of the Most High Show, we talk to my boy Jordan. Now, if you are a Christian, this episode will most likely offend you a little bit. But I encourage you to stick around to the end and try to see what it is that we're discussing. I think there are some really valid points, but if you have an issue with them, go on ahead and email me, contact@themosthighshow.com. Don't put me on blast on Facebook. Secondly, if you're not a Christian and you are going to probably really enjoy this video, because we're probably going to talk about some things that your intellectualness will be tantalized by. So without further ado, also we shot this downtown in some city in Georgia and kind of changed it up a little bit. So hope you enjoy it. This is Conversations with a Millennial. What?
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
All right, so what are we talking about?
For me, I don't want to put out anything that misleads or points someone in the wrong direction. So I'd like to try and think through before I start shooting. And then I want to be kind of, you know, make sure I'm going the right direction.
Sometimes watching the process is more important and helpful than getting the end result. The fact that we're publicly going through, you know, working it out is a big deal. There are almost no real examples that exist of Christians talking about or working through profound issues or problems in their lives in an honest and an open way. Christianity is not capable or equipped in most senses to deal with actual problems that people have because the theology they have is insufficient.
So when you say Christianity can't deal with it, I think what you're saying is you're not talking about Jesus can't deal with it.
You're talking about
the culture, the religion, the infrastructure, the...
Correct, yeah.
The,
Jesus can deal with anything. I'm talking about anytime that I say Christianity, I'm talking about the culture, the religion, the institution.
How do we create that, or does that already exist? A place where people can come and share the worst of themselves and be loved not less but more for it. And to me, that's what church was supposed to be. But what I've found in my personal experience is that's not what church is. A topic like this that we're covering and we're talking about, I don't want to be sensitive with it. I want to think through it, because what I don't want to do is I don't want to get the misconception that I think church is bad. I don't think church is bad. I think
the way we're doing church right now might be bad. The way that a lot of Christians are trained to think about problems, they think about problems in terms of the solution they've been trained to provide for it. Much of Christian thought has a set of fixed solutions to problems, and so all problems then get sorted in their heads based upon what solution is best for them.
So you're saying that basically Christians, we have any problem that exists in the human experience, us as Christians have said, oh, there's a solution for that, and every problem, every time we hit that problem, we should be able to apply this solution. It's very formulaic, right?
Well, all right, kind of, but not quite. What I'm saying is that because actually addressing problems is ugly, it's murky, it's messy, it's gray, it's just this horrible area where no one's really right and no one's really wrong, and it's super difficult to sort out. Any counselor knows this. Because of that, it requires you to be willing to go into an emotionally and spiritually vulnerable place to sort out problems, to solve things, to actually deal with issues with people in the location that they're at, right? But because so much of Christian thought is black and white, there's no gray spectrum in there. Because of that, they can't address problems in this way.
They as an institution.
Yeah, as an institution. Institutionally, because Christianity chooses to see everything in black and white, they can't address the vast gray areas that exist in most morality or in trying to deal with most problems that people have.
It's a lot like my story. When I encountered Jesus in 98, 4 years after that, I became back into addiction to drugs, right? So people, other Christians will look at me and say, well then, did you really experience Jesus that first time? How could you go and use drugs? And depending on who you are, that thought makes a lot of sense, or that thought you think that's crazy. And so for me, I often encounter some people, it challenges their theology in a way, because the way that they thought was that once you accept Jesus, there's a verse in the Bible that this comes from, which is, I think it's from James, that you can't go on sinning. And I didn't go on sinning. It was 10 years, but I didn't go on. There was a point when I finally was broken out of that. But even then, I still do miss the mark daily, but I'm not out there chasing hoes and doing drugs. So there's a gray area there, right? The other end of that is that now I know what it feels like to be in that situation. So whenever anyone comes to me, I'm the last person to judge them, right? I'm the last person to make it awkward. So it's a gray area. It's really difficult for some people when they, there's, you know, that's it. That's all I have to do.
It's a gray area. The faulty picture we have of salvation drives a lot of these problems. People see salvation as something that just happens. It's a single instant, it's a moment, you're changed, someone lays their hands on you, or there's some prayer or something like that, and then you're one person before that and you're one person after, and it's a one-way process, done and over. But that's not reflective of reality or like any kind of healthy kind of spiritual thought, because your struggles don't end. Just because you come to Jesus, that doesn't mean all your problems are over. Because you come to Jesus, now your problems can get dealt with. You don't come to Jesus because you're right. You come to Jesus because you want to be right.
Now that Jordan told me my cinematography sucks, he hands me the camera. So another maybe example of a gray area is doubt.
Yeah.
And there's this misconception about us as believers in Jesus that we don't doubt. When in fact, a lot of the most amazing things that has happened in our faith have come from men who doubted. Men like Martin Luther. And there's other men who have become some of the best Christian philosophers. C.S. Lewis, all wrestled with doubt. Think about this. This is one thought I had. Watching the Super Bowl, okay? You got a city behind a team. Two cities are behind two different teams, right?
Right.
And there's the catch that happens in the end zone, right?
Right.
One group of people is saying, looking at this, they're watching this catch, and they're saying, no catch. Then you got a whole nother group of people, a whole nother city of people watching, they say, catch. Both people are watching the same event unfold. Both people, right?
Right.
But both people are coming out with different interpretations of that event.
Well, yeah, they're reading the event with preconceived notions of what should happen, what is the right thing.
What happens is Christians often represent the gospel as absolute truth. And I'm not saying that that's inaccurate, but I'm saying that the unintended consequence of that is people going, you said that's true, but in my life, it's not true. So how could that be true?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, and there's a difference between recognizing the gospel as absolute truth and recognizing the words that are coming out of your mouth this moment as absolute truth. Those are two different things. Like, the gospel in its pure right, in the form that Jesus spoke, is. But what's coming out of my mouth right now is subject to all kinds of lenses, interpretations, all kinds of cultural and historical narratives, all of my own experience, all of my own pain coming out through the words that I'm saying.
So by being willing to say that it's possible that our interpretation and our regurgitation of the truth is possibly flawed, it leaves us, this is the beauty of Christianity, is it leaves us in a place where we're not walking on any kind of different moral standard or ground than anyone else. We're subject to the same as anyone else. The difference is a spiritual identity that changed, right?
Yeah.
And so if we're focusing on that, right, and allowing ourselves to be wrong, then the possibility of actually spreading the gospel to somebody, to me, becomes more real and actual.
Humility goes a long way.
So you have the creator of the universe who belittles himself into the form of what he has created, right? So if our God is willing to do that to reach us, then shouldn't we be willing to admit our own faults and our own shortcomings and our own doubts to help reach others?
Humility is something that Christians talk about a lot, but I see very few people that actually practice it.
Yeah.
Myself included, obviously. I'm basically a raging narcissist.
No comment.
No comment? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. Good plan.